You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The government's plans to construct a liquefied natural gas import terminal have sparked a lot of conversation over the past week about the role of natural gas in our energy infrastructure and what more we need. I spoke with Professor in Chemical and Material Engineering at the University of Auckland, Brent Young, about how this proposal fits into the issue it seeks to solve and what more needs to be done within our energy infrastructure if we mean to fix this. The government has moved towards this proposal to import liquefied natural gas through a new terminal. What does this actually mean?
Yeah, very good question. The idea behind importing LNG, it's one of several options that the government has been considering, and I would recommend that they consider some more, and looking to solve the dry year problem for New Zealand. So the dry year problem is when you have a year when you have a winter or a previous where the lake inflows, the hydro lakes, are very low. So we've had a, and so when you require the energy in the winter, you just don't have the hydroelectricity to provide it. So you need to provide it somewhere else or somehow else. And that's where LNG can potentially come in.
With that in mind, is this what the government actually argues that the proposal would do for New Zealand? Like, what else is there in terms of their argument?
Okay, yeah. I guess their argument is that LNG is essentially a drop-in fuel, if you like, that can provide firming for that, for that situation where we have a cold, dry winter that perhaps is also sunless, and we just don't have the wind and solar available to provide the electricity that we need during the winter. So that's the argument. Now, LNG is not the only option. It's one of several options that the government's looked at and actually several that they've considered in detail. There are other options, and which, in fact, their briefing papers to Cabinet have mentioned. These include looking at using biomass, looking at using local diesel options, looking at when I say biomass, also coal, local coal, and others which weren't considered, but pumped hydro for either the North or South Island, and other options such as distributed demand response.
And so looking at this option that the government did pick, is it the right move? Are there concerns about this move compared to the others?
Well, I think there are concerns, personally. My view is that we seem to be rushing into this decision. LNG is one of several options, as I've just mentioned. Many of the options that the government studied are actually lower cost compared to LNG. And in their own ranking, they actually rank quite similarly. LNG has, as I say, has perhaps the advantage that it could be deployed quickly, but we're not necessarily in a rush. Also, I think the estimate of having something ready for 2027 is ambitious, to say the least. There's also other issues around LNG that haven't been highlighted in the report. And there's security issues when tying into the LNG pipeline from overseas. LNG has been subject to quite a lot of volatility, because of the global tensions in the area. It also arguably is actually higher in greenhouse gas emissions than fuels like coal, even if coal's local. So because LNG is liquefied natural gas, so you're using a lot of energy to compress the gas to produce a liquid, and then at the other end, you then lose that energy when you take the liquid from the gas. So it's a as a green fuel, it's not necessarily as green as one might think.
And so with that in mind, kind of looking at New Zealand's energy futures, how might this move kind of play into these futures? Is this a move that we should be concerned about when looking at our sustainability and our energy?
Yeah, I believe it is a move that, I mean, I think it's overdue that we do something about this. So from that perspective, I think the government's right to be taking action on this. But it's sort of part of this whole dry year problem. It's part of a whole wicked problem of energy in the modern world and providing security and energy so that doesn't affect climate change. And I think that LNG might be part of the solution, but I think it's there's lots of other parts of the solution that are currently need to be looked at, such as looking at decarbonisation of industry. In the meantime, we're missing that, although we did have it a few years ago. Then we're also missing a really good look at proper demand response. Initiatives around that. So I think there's more we could be doing in this area.
Looking at this kind of this current government, is this proposal for LNG, is this kind of a welcome pivot towards a new kind of energy, or does it feel like it's kind of entrenching some of the other energy and resource approaches from this government?
Yes, I mean, it's very much a political question, that one. But my personal view is that it does entrench or embed emissions and perhaps unintended consequences there. And I think that we as a trading nation that's going to be trading with the world, we've got to be seen to be clean and green if we want to sell our products overseas, and this is just one part of that equation. Having said that, this is planned for dry year response, so it shouldn't be the idea is that this is for insurance, that we shouldn't be running the LNG plant. In fact, the idea is that hopefully if we had demand response, if we had other ways of providing energy, then this would only be run as a backup in that dry year situation. However, we don't have those other alternatives at the moment, and so hence why I think we need a more of a comprehensive approach, a more considered approach to this problem.
I mean, on that then, what do you want to kind of see in terms of these other options and looking into these options from the government in terms of kind of building this robust dry year response in the future, going forward?
Yeah, I would like to see a little some more consideration taken. The challenge here, I think, too, is that this is a generational investment, and we seem to be rushing it. I would actually like to see a bipartisan approach taken on this, which could be difficult, sometimes the best things are difficult, and I would like to see a bit more time taken to this. There's no rush to try and get needed. We don't know that 2027 is going to be a bad year. I think we've got time to consider these other options in more detail and take a more considered approach. I think I would also add that I think it's actually, we require a multi-prong approach. I've talked about the wicked problem of climate change and energy provision in that face of that, I think we need multiple solutions that can support each other. And so this sort of feels like a sort of one solution that where a government can tick a box and say they've done this. But in reality, we actually need a more considered pathway to solving this problem.
Next, I spoke to Professor Emeritus at Massey University, Ralph Sims, about the sustainability of liquid natural gas and potential alternatives.
So the government's announced this new plan to import liquid natural gas and set up a facility for that. What is the issue that the government is trying to address with this policy?
Yeah, well, it's long-term shortages of electricity because of the climate situation, with dry years in particular, when the hydro schemes aren't full, when the hydro lakes aren't full. There's a difference between a daily shortage, because we heat have peak electricity demands in the evening, and so therefore everybody comes home from work, turns on the cooker, turns on the heater or whatever, and we have to reach that peak. You can't save electricity. You've got to generate it as people want it. And that's why we have a process where every half an hour, generators bid into a system to say how much electricity they can give. On a daily basis, we have these peaks we have to overcome, and so we have off-peak power situations and encourage people to charge their electric vehicles at night rather than during the day, those sort of things. But this is when we've got a longer-term deficit in the generation in trying to meet the demand. And there's various ways you can manage that. You can get companies, large companies, to turn their electricity demand off for some time. And that means that you get the balance between supply and demand. So the problem is that we need some form of energy storage so that we can turn the electricity on when it's needed, when the lakes are low. And people talk about the solar and the wind, and that's variable. It changes daily, and that's manageable, but it's more difficult when you've got a larger deficit.
Yeah, and LNG, I mean, it's been getting a bit of backlash, right, in the public?
Yeah, well, you think there's various ways you can store energy and ready to use it. So liquefied natural gas is one way of doing it, and so is coal. You can have a great big pile of coal. But both of these produce carbon dioxide in large amounts. And if you combust natural gas directly from the oil gas fields, then it produces about 200 grams carbon dioxide per kilowatt hour. And then you've got to add on for the transport and the processing, the extraction of that gas. So it's about 250 grams of CO2 per kilowatt hour. For LNG, liquefied natural gas, which has to be kept at a temperature below 160 degrees to keep it liquid so you can easily transport it, that's nearly double that amount of greenhouse gases per kilowatt hour generated. That's one problem. The other problem, of course, is the price that we would pay for it. And like oil prices or gas prices or coal prices, prices fluctuate. And there's a huge international demand for LNG now. About 12% of all the gas that's burnt in the world has been produced and transported as liquefied natural gas rather than being used locally through pipelines and such like. So therefore, we've got no idea what we'd be paying for it, and the cost of installing a storage and degasifying plant. You get a boatload of liquefied natural gas arrives. It has to be stored in heavily insulated tanks, and then when needed, it has to be gasified so that you can use the gas as you need it. There's a cost in doing that as well. And so the whole process is costly, and the price of LNG in the future is uncertain.
Finally, I spoke to the University of Auckland's Professor of Electrical Engineering, Nirmal Nair, about how energy companies stand to benefit from the LNG changes.
Well, currently what happens is electricity companies operate under a market system. We have been operating an electricity market since about late 90s, 1990s. So customers could go and look online. If you just type in electricity market prices, you can actually see every half an hour prices going up and down, right? So this is a wholesale price. So what you or I as customers, we pay, most of us pay through one person. Like if suppose you're staying in a home or a flat or whatever, usually you pay your electricity bill, right? Once in a month or something like that, and you get a bill, right? So so this is based on the meter, which you know, that unit or that house has. So in New Zealand, we have about 2.4 million such meters, let us put it that way, ICPs as they call it. So we pay the retail price, right? So we don't see the up and down and things like that. But if you wanted to look what the wholesale price is, if you go to their website, usually you will be seeing it, like it might move anywhere from 6 cents to 9 cents, something like that. But you or I might be paying to the retailer, let's say, anywhere between 30 cents to 38 cents. It depends upon what the retailer are, which part of the country you are in, and so on and so forth. So that's how the market has been operating for about, 30 years or something like that. So how does that work? Well, the generation companies, there are four of them now listed in the stock market. There used to be five, but now there is four. And these are what are called as generation companies. So they own these big, generation plant, which used to be owned by the public long time ago, but with the market, they just own. And they also have their retailer as well. So that's why it is called as gentailer. So, for example, if you're Mercury, so Mercury is a generation company, plus it also has its retail arm. Similarly, Meridian and so on. So you can check that out, right? Plus, there are some other people who don't own any assets, right? So they are just retailers. Now, what they do is they buy from wholesale. You have to pay the lines companies because electricity requires wires and cables and all those things. So then it comes and you have to pay some fixed charges to them, right? And it reaches you. Plus also on top of it, depending upon how you consume, you have GST and there are some levies and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, to put the story short, if suppose you're not into any of this market kind of mechanism, you or I, we would usually pay 30 to 39 cents, whatever that amount might be. So that's where that is. So currently, that market has been operating for a long time. So generation companies have, our main major fuel is hydro, hydro plants, geothermal, and so on. Gas is just a small proportion of that exercise, right? So currently they are claiming that they're going to put actually a big storage plant for LPG. This is liquefied, it's called a CNG, right? So it's liquefied, but it is natural gas, but it is liquefied. So someone liquefies it and then through ships or something like that, they would get to us and then you store it. So this might not be useful for electricity land companies because it's very expensive fuel, right? So, but in New Zealand, we have a lot of people who uses gas, right? Gas and Fonterra plant uses those things. So that was my opinion that the CNG, whatever it is, it's of no use to us as customers. Why are we paying for that? Because that's not going to be done for electrification anyway. And the security of supply should be with the generation companies, with this existing fuel, right? So that is why they're using the same discussion and argument. 6 months ago, we had a coal storage. Again, they also it's going to be creating that, right? So I told, okay, so my opinion is this has no relevance to us. We are just paying the charges for the storage plant. Now, what would be the best advantage for us? Well, currently we are not part of the supply chain of the CNG in the globe. And as you know, the current climate around, the geopolitics and the fuel scarcity and what is going to happen. So we don't know what might happen in the fuel sector in the future. So the only advantage I can see is we will have a storage facility. We might store that. And, whenever the gas, we might use it for our own purpose or we might sell it off or something like that, right? But even in that case, that who will gain out of this whole exercise? It will be the generation companies, right? So in my opinion, this doesn't serve any purpose for us. Of course, the government can use its GST money or whatever it is to buy those containers to do it, but it might not have any relevance to us in the long run, right?
And the government's been talking about how it's going to help reduce power prices, especially at peak times, during the winter. During those hours when people are using their heaters, using their TVs, using whatnot. Is that something that is true, first of all? And is it worth the trade-off? We're spending $1 billion and it's also going into a levy on people throughout the year.
So that's where you have to know electrical engineering, right? So we're talking about peak load and here we're talking about energy. Energy is long-term, right? So that's why it's confusing, right? And I think it's disingenuous. That's what I kind of argue. This has nothing to do with this peak and things. So if you don't have energy, well, there will be scarcity, right? Now, we might have to cut off those things. That's the only way. It's nothing to do with peak load issues, right? Peak load is a different problem altogether. That is to do with the wires and this, which gets loaded up, right? And you can assume, right? If there is a congestion in the road, what happens? Everything stops, right? So you cannot have congestion in the electricity system because it will shut off, right? So it's not like that. So the peak load is really managing the load, but that would still require energy, right? So that is a different problem altogether. What the argument has been, well, you would have a lot of wind and solar and things like that, and it is intermittent, and this might provide security of supply. But currently, New Zealand doesn't have that much wind and solar, right? As I told you, it's hydro 65%, geothermal, and so on and so forth. So intermittency, I can agree, but peak load stuff can be managed by us managing our, you know, how we use our consumption and things like that. So that is no relevance to the gas issue. The argument here is the gas, because of the gas, our power prices might come down. Well, these are two different things, right? So I don't buy that argument because we don't produce that much electricity through gas anyway, right? The marginal cost on top is what it is. And currently it is coal. So coal prices are the expensive one, right? So gas is slightly more cheaper than the coal. But our gas is running out, which we have, and in those cases, most of the gas is being used by, currently in New Zealand, we use gas, right? So our own gas, which we produce. But we use it more for process plant, you know, for drying and things like that, which is Fonterra. So what you have to do as an educated person, you can just put Google onto gas market in New Zealand, and there's actually a gas levy. And if you look at the customers, there are customers, right? You know, there are three or four companies which produces gas, and who consumes gas is basically, there used to be a company called as Methanex, which used to produce some using gas, but they haven't gone out of business. It was a Canadian company. They just closed because they knew the gas is running out here because it was cheap gas, right? And the other big customer is Fonterra for drying its milk plant and so on and so forth. So actually, electricity use directly through gas is less at this point of time. And that is running out anyway. So therefore, we can't rely on gas even for electricity anyway, right? So I think, and we have hydro and this and so on and so forth. So our electricity mixture is a different thing. But the thing New Zealanders usually pay, you know, we are fear of our taxpayers, right? You have to pay your taxes, otherwise it'll be a problem. And all of us pay for our electricity. So electricity seems to be the easiest way for people to charge money, right, fairly to everyone. That is why they are adding that levy on top of it, right? So you add GST, you add those things. Everyone pays the same rate, right? I mean, to say, as per your consumption and those things. So they're just adding the levy so everyone pays for it, right? It's almost like a road user tax or something like that. So my argument has been, well, if this plant with the gas is going to be used by electricity and they're going to be run by generation companies, why don't they pay for it? If they're not paying for it, let the government pay for it. It has GST anyway, right?
Those were Professor in Chemical and Material Engineering at the University of Auckland, Brent Young, Professor Emeritus at Massey University, Ralph Sims, and the University of Auckland's Professor of Electrical Engineering, Nirmal Nair, speaking out about various aspects of the liquid natural gas program and the various issues that might occur.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.